pain has reached epidemic proportions in America. I'm Dr. Paul Christo. This is Aches and Gains.
Dr. Paul Christo is one of America's leading experts on relieving pain. He's board-certified, Harvard-trained, and a pain medicine specialist at Johns Hopkins. U.S. News and World Report ranks him as a top doctor and among the top 1% in the nation for pain management. Becker's Review selected him as one of the 70 best pain management physicians in America. He's listed as a super doctor for the Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Northern Virginia area. Aches and Gains is a weekly talk show covering all aspects of pain and pain relief. The human impact is real. Older adults, children, and even infants struggle to cope with pain. But there's hope, and there are treatments that can ease pain and suffering. The show offers compelling stories about people who've found relief. We share cutting-edge treatments from contributing experts, and we offer ways to help people cope with their pain.
Welcome to the show. If you're like most of us, you sing the praises of good food. We celebrate taste and watch reality TV shows like Top Chef and Iron Chef America, wishing that we too could be the judge of deliciously prepared food. Yet we fight the battle of the waistline all the time. It's not just about vanity. More and more, we're finding that what we eat or don't eat can make a huge difference in how we feel. But can food really act as a pain reliever? Or can it make us feel even worse? These questions and more are answered by our two guests. Ann Wilson traces her path to a diet that's helped her reclaim her life, virtually free of arthritic pain. Dr. Harris McElwain, author of Diet for a Pain-Free Life, shares his prescriptions for a lifestyle that can reduce pain, pounds, and stress.
Aches and Gains is supported by Medtronic, Mylan Pharmaceuticals, Purdue Pharma, Endo Pharmaceuticals, Horizon Pharma, Pentec Health, Boston Scientific, and Optimal Pain Control. For live online listening to Aches and Gains, please go to paulchristomd.com. To access podcasts of the show, please go to paulchristomd.com. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Christo, please email him at achesandgains@gmail.com.
Ann Wilson's life was disrupted by the constant pain of both osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. There were days when she couldn't get out of bed, her sleep was disrupted and incomplete, and she gained weight from inactivity and poor nutrition. Ultimately, she turned her life around by adding certain foods and eliminating others. Ann, welcome to Aches and Gains.
Thank you.
It's great to know that you're doing well today, but it wasn't always this easy, was it?
In the past with arthritis, I found it very difficult to even get out of bed some days. So I was always very tired, experienced a lot of joint pain, knees, ankles, elbows, shoulders, and the fatigue, once again, was just extreme.
And how severe was your pain, and was it disabling?
Disabling to where I, maybe 2 to 3 days out of the week, it was very difficult to even leave the house. On a scale from 1 to 10, the majority of the time, it's probably 7 or an 8. I have small children. It's very hard to, you know, go for walks, get on the floor, play with them, take them places. I didn't get out much, so I wasn't hanging out with friends and, social gathering stuff just weren't even an option for a long period of time.
I'm sorry to hear that. Some of the treatments that you tried and were helpful temporarily included anti-inflammatory medications like Advil, Aleve, Celebrex, and Mobic, along with Tramadol and some steroid injections into your knees, as well as glucosamine and chondroitin. Were you overweight?
I was.
How much?
About 50 pounds overweight. I weighed about 195.
Talk to us about what kind of food you were eating.
Anything and everything. And it's kind of a snowball effect, you know, when you don't feel well, you tend to try to fix that with comfort foods. You know, I was a single parent with three children that had to eat, so it was easier to, you know, order a pizza or, make a sandwich or something that wasn't necessarily healthy, but quick and easy to do. At one point, it was very hard to even stand in the kitchen and cook. So unfortunately, my eating habits became very bad.
Were you ever able to connect a certain food with worsening pain? What I mean is, when you ate French fries, for example, did your arthritic pain get worse?
The most prominent one, I would say, was red meat. I didn't know the connection at the time. I realized the connection when I stopped eating certain foods. When I eliminated red meat from my diet, I felt very well. If I would start back eating it, then the pain would return. And it wasn't, you know, if you have a steak, then your knees hurt. That seems a little drastic. But if it became habit-forming once again, then you started to feel not so well again.
About how long after you stopped eating red meat did you notice that your pain started improving?
It was a slow process. Probably 4 to 6 weeks.
That's wonderful. I thought you were going to say 4 to 6 months. And after you stopped eating meat, how much better did you feel?
I was much more mobile, and that, on a number scale, again, from 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, I would say it reduced it to like a 2 or 3. I was much more active, and as far as the pain elimination, I just started feeling more motivated, you know, more wanting to get up and do things, not so sluggish, just didn't have the aches and pain, so I was so excited about feeling better that it encouraged me to want to do things more.
What made you decide to see the rheumatologist and embark upon this new diet that's found in the book called Diet for a Pain-Free Life?
I started seeing the rheumatologist because I went to the primary care with the complaints of the fatigue and joint pain, which then led to lab testing, which then led to seeing the rheumatologist, and elevated SID rate, I believe is what it was at the time. Once I started seeing the rheumatologist, and the primary had suggested as well to lose weight. My issue was, it's very difficult to lose weight when you can barely move.
Yes.
So I had to find something that would help me lose the weight, yet fit in my life, you know, where my lifestyle was at the time of the arthritis being so severe.
We have to take a break, but when we come back, we'll talk to Anne about what really motivated her to try this particular diet, especially when she had tried previous weight loss programs without success. I'm Dr. Paul Christo, and you're listening to Aches and Gains.
Aches and Gains is supported by Medtronic, the global leader in medical technology, alleviating pain, restoring health, and extending life for millions of people around the world. Mylan Pharmaceuticals, one of the world's leading generic pharmaceutical companies. Discover why at Mylan, quality isn't just a claim, it's a cause we've made personal at seeinsidemylan.com. Purdue Pharma, making a positive impact on healthcare and on lives, reminding everyone to safeguard medications in their home.
And we're back. Anne, what was the motivation behind you trying this new diet called Diet for a Pain-Free Life?
I did not want to be in pain any longer. And the diet is very useful for people that are in pain, suffering from, you know, arthritis, different types of pain, fibromyalgia, lupus. And it just seemed like something that was a perfect fit.
Were you ever afraid that you'd have to make some serious lifestyle changes or that you'd miss the food you were eating?
Scared to death. I just thought, you know, can I really do this? Can I really make these changes? And it just kind of came down to, you can continue to live this way or maybe even worse, meaning, you know, not leaving the house, not being able to interact with the kids, things of that nature, or you can try this and be determined to be successful at it. And I just chose to try it.
Let's talk now about the specifics of the diet.
The beginning of the book, so the beginning of the program, it explains from a medical standpoint how the eating habits will allow you to feel better. Staying away from certain foods or increasing or adding certain foods help you to feel better. No one ever explained that to me before. I started from the very beginning, eating well, lots of fresh fruits, vegetables, just changing from the fast food, trying to make better choices in general, and following the guidelines of the book. The second phase is the exercise, and honestly, I started with some like sedentary exercises and just trying to move around the house a little more. Vacuuming, folding clothes, stooping, kneeling, doing things that I really, you know, had needed assistance with in the past. Step three is about stress and the pain connection of it. I became less stressed. The fourth step of the increase in the quality of sleep, I did some of my own research. I never really knew how much I should be sleeping or, you know, what, you know, health professionals recommend amount of sleeping, different positions of sleep, ways to fall asleep, and to make sure I was getting enough sleep. It became very easy because once you start to exercise and eat different, you're tired, you don't require as much sleep as when you were depressed and in pain.
Which foods did you then add to your diet?
I started eating fresh fruit and vegetables rather than canned, occasionally, you know, frozen, but I was doing a lot of processed foods when I would cook dinner, you know, take something to work, it was normally canned or pre-processed, and or, you know, like a frozen dinner or something of that nature. And I just really jumped on the wagon of going to the fruit markets and buying fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, once or twice a week. I started eating a lot of fish. I really stayed away from it beforehand, and I think mostly just because I wasn't sure how to prepare it. I was a salmon person, and some tuna. I like raspberries, blueberries. A couple of the recipes are really great that include blueberries. I do drink green tea, more of the natural type green teas than your pre-bottled green teas. Those tend to be filled with sugar.
So, Anne, you felt noticeably better then when you incorporated foods into your diet like blueberries, blackberries, cherries, russet potatoes, pinto beans, and artichokes.
Correct. I gradually made the change, and when I reached a point where I was eating healthy meals the majority of the day, the pain had decreased unbelievably just by the small amount of exercise and the definite change in eating habits.
That's wonderful. And if you don't follow the diet, does the arthritic pain return?
If I fall off track for long periods of time, I start to feel bad again. I really do.
Have you been able to eliminate any pain medicines as a result of eating certain foods or eliminating them?
At one point, I was actually to the point where I had to take narcotic, Vicodin, and I don't use that anymore.
Wow, I mean, that's profound. And how much total relief do you feel that you've achieved from this nutritional change?
80%. Great.
That is great. And how much weight did you lose?
About 45 to 50 pounds.
Good for you. What's been the impact of changing your nutritional patterns on your life?
You know, it's not only helped me, but it's helped my family to just become healthier and feel better. I don't prepare 5 different meals. Everyone eats what I eat. So it's been very positive for all of us.
What would you say to someone who's had pain for several years and who's on the fence about committing to changing their diet?
I'd probably say research. Look up, you know, antioxidants, look up fruits and vegetables, look up red meat. You know, the research is there. It proves that it helps you to feel better.
And you've just described how powerful a tool research can be. And I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Aches and Gains.
Thank you.
Up next is Dr. Harris McElwain, rheumatologist, internist, and geriatrician. I'm Dr. Paul Christo, and you're listening to Aches and Gains.
Aches and Gains is supported by Endo Pharmaceuticals, a U.S.-based specialty healthcare solutions company that delivers innovative diagnostics, drugs, devices, and clinical data to meet the needs of patients in areas such as pain, urology, oncology, and endocrinology. Horizon Pharma, a biopharmaceutical company that develops and commercializes innovative medicines to target unmet therapeutic needs in arthritis, pain, and inflammatory diseases. PenTech Health, one of the nation's largest pharmacy and nursing companies, dedicated solely to providing in-home care for patients with implanted pumps used for the treatment of severe pain or spasticity.
Dr. Harris McElwain is a rheumatologist, internist, and geriatrician from the Tampa Medical Group in Florida. He's written several books about how we can free ourselves from pain. His latest book is Diet for a Pain-Free Life, a revolutionary plan to lose weight, stop pain, sleep better, and feel great in 21 days. Dr. McElwain, welcome to Aches and Gains.
Thank you.
In your latest book, you describe that adding certain foods and eliminating certain foods can really be beneficial in reducing our pain. How and why is that possible?
It turns out some foods do raise pain and inflammation, some foods lower it. So if you do that in an organized way, increase foods that lower inflammation and pain and take foods out of the diet that cause pain and inflammation, within a few weeks, most people notice a really nice difference in the pain. Along with this, most people lose weight, and it's very common when they follow the diet correctly to lose 2 to 4 pounds a week the first few weeks if they're overweight.
Dr. McElwain, which molecules in our body produce the most inflammation that lead to pain?
In arthritis especially, the cytokines or the chemicals that stimulate a lot of inflammation and mediate a lot of pain. So many of the medicines that we use are intended to lower the amount of cytokines and inflammatory products. So if we have foods that can actually lower inflammation, it can be very helpful. And for some people, it works so well that they are able to lower their medications. We have people that have rheumatoid arthritis that take a lot less medicine, a lot less cortisone, a lot less very strong medicine, just because they have been careful with their diet along with exercise and the other non-medication treatments.
That's really good to know. Harris, are many of us just eating more and more inflammatory producing foods?
Many of the foods that cause inflammation are the foods that that we call fast foods, those that are cooked at high temperatures, fried. The animal proteins raise the inflammation chemicals, so that it's easy to get foods that tend to increase inflammation and pain. And you have to think a little bit to get foods that lower it.
Harris, my understanding of the premise of your book is that obesity leads to inflammation, which then leads to pain.
It has been shown that the excess body weight creates more of the cytokines that create inflammation. I saw a patient yesterday who has lost about 25 pounds on the diet. His problem was arthritis of the osteoarthritis type in the knees and the hands. And it's really interesting that he lost 25 pounds and his knees felt a lot better, but he was really surprised that his hand pain had almost gone away. So that's really interesting, and it shows dramatically that it's not just the taking the pounds off your feet, that you're really lowering inflammation. Research shows that osteoarthritis has generally been called the wear and tear arthritis and has commonly thought to be, well, the cartilage is worn, the bones don't have the cushion. But now we know that it's much more inflammatory than was thought before, which fits very well with a diet that lowers inflammation.
Yeah, you know, it really does. Harris, I understand that your nutritional plan has three phases. Will you talk about the first phase?
It takes the foods that, like fast foods and fried foods and animal fats out. Now, for some people, that's a little bit hard. But for most people, they feel so much better so quickly, even that is not hard. And then the second phase liberalizes that. It begins to increase the choices. And we even include now turkey, chicken, plant protein, along with the fish. All in all, the calories are a little bit less important than the quality of the food in pain relief. The original people on this diet were not even overweight. And so they had pain relief, but they didn't really need to lose weight. It was later in the history of this diet that we noticed that it was really easy way to lose weight. The third phase really tries to talk about the lifestyle. We see people who have been on this diet for a year. Many have lost weight if they needed to, but they come in and tell us, you know, I go on cruises, I go to weddings, I go to parties, and in the holidays I do all the right things, and I don't lose weight during that time, but I don't gain weight, and I feel very much better because the pain is so much improved. And that's a really typical story.
That's a great benefit. When we come back, we'll talk to Dr. McElwain about whether the fun and variety of different dishes is still retained if using his diet. I'm Dr. Paul Christo, and you're listening to Aches and Gains.
Aches and Gains is supported by Optimal Pain Control by Franklin Pharmacy, a state-of-the-art compounding pharmacy that provides alternatives to oral pain medications. Contact us toll-free at 888-482-3972. Follow us on Twitter at Dr. Paul Christo and like us on Facebook, Aches and Gains.
Welcome back. Harris, I have patients who tell me that they just get tired of eating the same old foods. Does that happen with your diet?
There's literally hundreds of recipes of every type of food. And this is what's interesting. People become educated that no matter what type of food they want, you know, Mexican food, Italian food, any kind of ethnic food, there are great recipes available. Most of the recipes are tweaked by a chef, and they have great tasting sauces or great tasting additions that make the foods taste great. As I said, families enjoy the foods. It's not a problem.
Which foods are particularly pain-fighting?
Blueberries, dark cherries, plant-based protein, fish are healthy sources of protein. Yogurt is good. Tofu is good. Soy products are good. All of those tend to give you good nutrition, but they don't stimulate the chemicals that cause inflammation and pain.
Wow, that's helpful. Harris, which foods are particularly helpful in treating, say, for example, fibromyalgia?
We find that in fibromyalgia, a large percentage of patients are overweight. So we think that following the diet to lose weight does improve pain for that. Now, for a person who's not overweight and has fibromyalgia, the following the diet does tend to help. We don't have any controlled trials, but we do see a lot of people with fibromyalgia, and most of them follow a diet, and most of them would say the diet works.
Are there any herbs or even spices that we can use instead of pain medicines?
Bromelain, which is found in pineapple, can be purchased as a supplement in tablets or capsules. You can actually buy ginger and use it in foods. Cinnamon is anti-inflammatory.
And how about chocolate? I mean, for example, some preliminary research suggests that there are several health benefits of dark chocolate, and specifically for painful nerve disorders. What are some of those benefits?
Well, it's interesting. The dark chocolate and wine are on our diet because they are anti-inflammatory. You have to be aware that they do have calories. So even good food has calories if you overdo it.
And finally, Harris, what's most important for us to keep in mind about the impact of nutrition on pain?
First is to be aware that what you eat can actually affect your pain, that what you eat can improve the pain. And this is a different concept than most of us have thought over the years. Certain kinds of food can definitely lower inflammation, can definitely lower arthritis, pain, and inflammation, and therefore allow you to be more active, use the muscles more. The muscles get stronger, and that also helps the arthritis pain.
I think that's great information. Dr. McElwain, thank you so much for joining us today on Aches and Gains.
No, thank you.
Aches and Gains is supported by Medtronic, Mylan Pharmaceuticals, Purdue Pharma, Endo Pharmaceuticals, Horizon Pharma, Pentec Health, Boston Scientific, and Optimal Pain Control. For live online listening to Aches and Gains, please go to paulchristomd.com. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Christo, please email him at achesandgains@gmail.com. That's achesandgains@gmail.com.
Here we have a question from Elise from Pompano Beach, Florida. I've been told that I have spinal stenosis based on a CT scan, and that it's the cause of severe pain I experience intermittently that runs from the left buttock down the thigh, the knee, the leg, and the instep, and that sometimes causes numbing tingling of the toes. The pain is most severe when I stand still or walk slowly, least severe when seated. Both my GP and my orthopedist have said that the only effective treatment and the only cure is surgery. I've tried an epidural injection, and now I'm trying acupuncture and Percocet if needed. Is the surgery truly unavoidably needed? Well, Elise, there are different causes for spinal stenosis, but almost all cause pain shooting into the leg that occurs with various activities. Because bending forward opens up the spinal canal, patients often say that they're able to ride a bicycle or walk up a hill or stairs without a problem. Surgery is avoidable unless you lose control of your bowel or your bladder, develop true neurological weakness that endangers you, or you have incapacitating pain that fails to respond to more conservative treatments. Studies in patients with sciatica have generally shown that surgery is more effective than not having surgery for 6 months and up to 2 years in people with spinal stenosis, but then the benefits dissipate. People with spinal stenosis may also report more pain relief than improvement in function. However, some people will get worse with surgery. Acupuncture appears to be better than no acupuncture at all, although the magnitude of benefit isn't that strong. For the nerve pain shooting down your leg, I would try one of the first-line medicines before considering surgery, and these would include things like gabapentin or pregabalin, for example, or antidepressants such as nortriptyline. I would continue to do a regular exercise program as well. Another option that you might want to look into would be the MILD procedure, minimally invasive lumbar decompression. It's pretty new. The data are favorable at this point, but we don't have a lot of evidence quite yet. I'm Dr. Paul Christo, and this is Aches and Gains.
Tune in next time when we explore another interesting topic on Aches and Gains. The views and opinions expressed in this radio program are solely the views of Dr. Paul Christo and do not necessarily express the views of this radio station and Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, nor an endorsement by any or all of them of any of its content. This show provides medical information, not advice. Please consult your personal physician before engaging in any course of treatment or use of any of the techniques or products discussed on this show. Discussion of particular uses of products on this show have not been approved by any of the manufacturers of such products. To access podcasts of the show, please go to paulchristomd.com. That's paulchristomd.com. Aches and Gains is produced by Tom Blair and Ty Ford. Elsa Langford is the technical consultant and engineer. Dr. Paul Christo is the executive producer. Thanks for listening. This is Aches and Gains with Dr. Paul Christo.